Father, we're grateful now for life. We thank you for this time that you've given us. We ask you, dear God, today to just direct us today in what we say, what we do. I pray, God, the Word of God would find place in each of our hearts and our lives today. And Lord, that it might be for us what we need in our individual lives and as a body of believers, Lord, that we might grow together. And God, that we might bring honor and glory to you here at Fellowship Baptist Church, and we might continue to see people saved, people encouraged in the Lord. And God, as we walk with the Lord daily, Lord, you would encourage us. May the Spirit of God now have his will and way in all we say and do today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, last week we talked about, is there any word from the Lord about God himself? We identify the Lord as being the Lord Jesus Christ. We said simply, is there any word from Jesus Christ about the Father? And we'd have to say, yes, there is. Can you say that?
Yes,
there is. Okay. Now, today we're talking about, is there any word from the Lord about the church? Is there any word from the Lord about God's church? And we'd have to say,
yes,
there is. There's much in the Bible about the church. And I'm grateful today to know that we can go there and find out what we need to know about God's church today. Now, there's a great danger today in our world, in our society in which we live in, of losing sight of the church. Did you know that? The church today is not what it was 10, 15, especially 20 and 30 years ago. We're losing sight of the church. It's been invaded by other things, such as praise and worship services, the bigness or whatever. You know, and I'm sorry today to say, but we've lost sight of the church today. Most people today don't even know what church is. They don't know what church is for. You got churches popping up in Clayton on every corner. I mean, if you can ride around, you can find whatever you want. There's one right here called the Freedom Church. I mean, you can go like you want to go, be like you want to be, and come when you want to come, and that it doesn't matter. You know, Freedom Church, you know. And sad to say today, that's what most people today, the society today, generations today, think about the church. It's not what it used to be. You and I remember as, anybody here an old-timer? You know what an old-timer is? Old-timer is a person who can remember back when charity was a virtue and not an organization. There's too many charity organizations today, you know? But that's what an old-timer is. I can remember the day when church was respected. God's house was respected. God's man was respected. God's word was respected. But now, today, it's sad, it's not that way, is it? We've gotten away from the church and what it is, what Jesus Christ established it to be. And we're going to talk about that today, but we need to remember this. It's well to remember that Jesus Christ positively identified himself with the church. He identified himself with the church. We also need to understand that he gave his life that he might start the church. He might establish the church. He gave himself for the church. And if you're saved, born again, child of God, you're part of the church. He gave his life for you. He gave his life for you. We also see that the Apostle Paul, he sacrificed everything he did for the church. For the church. He wanted to build the church. And we see the primary purpose today of God's business in his dispensation of grace is to bring together the church. And someday, praise God, someday it's going to be accomplished and age will cease to be because it has accomplished its purpose. The church is going to be established. And I'm grateful today to know that when I look in the Word of God and I ask myself this question, is there any word from the Lord about God's church? There is. There is much to say about God's church. Turn in your Bibles this morning to Matthew. Matthew chapter number 16. Matthew chapter 16. Today as we begin our study, we're looking here at the Lord Jesus Christ as he's been speaking with the Pharisees and Sadducees and also his disciples. He's trying to identify himself with them, let them know who he is. He's trying to help them to understand the era of the Pharisees and Sadducees' doctrines. He says, beware of them. Beware of them. And we see here in chapter 16, and beginning with verse number 13, we see here as Jesus came here. He's speaking now with his disciples. We notice he's going to ask them two questions in these verses. Verses 13 through 20, he asked them two questions. Not only did he ask them two questions, but he answered them two answers too. He's identifying again himself, his purpose. Also, we see here he's giving them a challenge, and yet he's going to lead them with a responsibility in these verses in which we read now. Let's begin with verse number 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, now notice the first questions he asked. Now who's he speaking to? These disciples. He asked him a question. He says, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? That's a very important question here we see here as he relates this here. Now notice where he is. First of all, the location, he's in Caesarea Philippi. Now this is a large city around the Jordan Valley. It's a populous city. It's a city with many gods. You know, they have statues for all kinds of gods. They have many gods. And we see here, this is where he is. It's a religious city, a country, but there's all false gods. Most of them are false gods. That's where he's sitting with his disciples when he talks to them now. And he's asking them the question, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who am I? Who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I am? You know, it's amazing. If you go out in the world in which we live today, and you ask somebody, who is Jesus Christ? You might be surprised how they answer you. You might be shocked how they answer you. Because a lot of people in the world today don't even know who he is. They have no idea who he is. They don't have no clue who he is. They don't know. But Jesus is confronting here his disciples with this question. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now notice their answer. Notice their answer. In verse number 14. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some, Elias, and others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Now, when we look back to John the Baptist, we speak of his message. John the Baptist had a message, didn't he? He preached. It was a strong message. Repent. We also look back at, also not John the Baptist, but also we look here at Elias. He was a miracle worker, wasn't he? He was a miracle worker. They liked that. They liked miracles, you see? Therefore, they established him with him. Or Jeremiah, he was one, was a minister. He preached the word. He preached the word. So they all had different answers. Different answers to whom Jesus was, the Son of Man. Who was he? And we see he had all kinds of answers. But notice the second question. First of all, we see that Jesus asked, whom do men say that I am? The second question is this. Look at verse 15. But he said to them, but whom say ye that I am? Getting now personal now, isn't he? But whom say ye that I am? He says to the disciples. And we see here, as always, we see, not always, but we see here in verse number 16, the answer come from Peter. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. There could not have been a better answer. Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. From Peter. He says this with boldness here. The answer is come from Peter. Now notice the insight from Peter he gave here. Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. There was no doubt in Peter's heart who Jesus Christ was. He was the Son of God. He was the Son of the living God. And therefore we find that Peter got that from somewhere, didn't he? He'd heard it. He'd been heard that in his life. And therefore we find he answers this boldly, if you please, with the answer to this second question. And notice in verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him. Now who is him? Peter. He's talking to Peter here. Jesus answered unto Peter here, and he said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. In other words, Peter, you've been revealed this from my Father in heaven. You haven't known this by flesh and blood, but God's Spirit has revealed this to you. You remember last Sunday when we talked about Is there any word from the Lord about God himself? And we talked about how God is a spirit, and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, this is how Peter got the message from God's Spirit, told him who Jesus Christ was here, you see. So we see the revelation came to Peter. But notice in verse 18, a very important verse here. And I say also unto thee, Peter, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, here we find an announcement from the Lord Jesus Christ concerning the church to Peter and to his disciples and to us that read the Word of God. We see here, again, the challenge in verse number 18. The challenge is, I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. We see the words of Jesus Christ here. He speaks about this. And in the latter part of that, he says, I'll be my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. These are the words of Jesus to Peter and to his disciples as they listened intently at this time. Now, Jesus Christ, he has much to say about the church because, first of all, he's the founder. He's the establisher. He's the rock that the church is built upon. And we see here that it is Christ that makes the announcement here to Peter and to the disciples that I'm going to build a church. My church is going to be built upon me, the rock, the firm foundation. It is Christ who is the church's head and also the ruler. Therefore, he can make this announcement, couldn't he, to the disciples and to Peter. It is Christ to whom all judgment will be committed to. It is also Christ from whom all power is derived from. It all is from Christ. It's all from Christ. So Jesus Christ is telling the disciples, telling Peter, and all of us that read the Word of God, he's giving us the word about the church. Jesus speaks much about the church. He speaks here about how he's going to be established, how he's going to build the church. He's going to build the church, you see. That Christ would build his church upon a rock. A rock. The rock not being Peter, but the rock being Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. See, that Christ would build his church. The church is a people that's called out. An assembly, a congregation, if you please, of people set apart and dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. Set apart. Dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. We see also, it's Peter. Peter is reminded here. Peter, Jesus says, this is not your church, Peter, but whose church is this? This is my church. That's what Jesus is telling Peter. This is my church. It's not your church, Peter. It's my church. It's my church. And I'm going to build my church, you see. It is of Christ himself that this truth is established. There's going to be a church, and Jesus Christ is going to build it upon the rock himself. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. My, what a truth we have here. When we take away Jesus Christ from this, being the rock of the church, we take away this truth itself, the church falls to the ground. You know that? Well, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, these words, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 14 through 17, if Christ be not the Son of God, first of all, our preaching is in vain. Our faith is in vain. And we're still in our sins. We're still in our sins if Christ be not Christ, if he's not the Son of God. So we see here when we do this, Christ promises also to preserve the church. He says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. His church. There's going to be enemies. Yes, there is, but they won't prevail. They won't have control. They won't destroy. God's always had a church, folks, and God's always going to have a church till Jesus comes. Right. Till Jesus comes. It's not going to be destroyed because I believe the promises of God in God's word. He tells us that. This implies that the church will have enemies against it. They're going to oppose the gospel. People don't want to hear the gospel today. You know, people are going to try to destroy people. Christians and also ministers of the Word of God, they're going to be destroyed because they take a stand for Christ. We see that today in our own world, don't we? Over in foreign countries. What's taking place over there? It's sad. It's sad, but people are taking a stand. You know, I ask myself, would I take that stand? If I was put to that test, what would I do? Would I be willing to give my life to say that I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and I will not deny him? I will not deny him. I hope we would be. I don't know. We don't know. This assures us that the enemies of the church shall not prevail. He tells us that. We're going to have enemies, but they will not prevail. They will not prevail. They will not prevail, first of all, against the truth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's going to build a church. They will not prevail also against the church built upon the truth. See, folks, it's the truth that counts. The truth. Jesus says, I'm the way and what? The truth and the life. He's the truth. And when the church is built upon Jesus Christ, it's built upon the truth. It's built upon the truth. And the truth is going to prevail. The truth is going to prevail. No matter how we see today in the world in which we live, that the truth is being mocked, made fun of, and tried to be destroyed, it's going to prevail one day, folks. It's going to prevail. It's going to be victorious at the end. Because it's God's word. Because it's God's word. I thank God today that the Lord Jesus Christ here, with the disciples, he made a clear announcement, a fact about the church. About he himself is going to establish the church. He's the rock. It's going to be built upon him. It's going to be his church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's going to stand. It's going to stand till this age is done with. It's complete. And my, what a promise that is from God himself. So we're thankful today for the church. How God has established it for you and I. You know, folks, we're blessed. We're really blessed to live in a country that we have the opportunity, we have the privilege of knowing one another in Christ Jesus as brothers and sisters and being able to come together faithfully to God's house and worship him together. My, what a privilege we have. What a blessing we have. You know, there's a love, there's a bond that brings us together, that keeps us together. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ and his love. His love that indwells us. And hopefully will spread out to others around us. And they might see that unity that Jesus Christ brings people together. He brings people together. And my, we need it today in this world in which we live. There's so much turmoil. There's so much violence and things going on in the world today. People need the Lord. That's who they need. They need the Lord. And we need to tell them. And it's our responsibility to tell them who the Lord is. I'm reminded of a Sunday school teacher. She was teaching young girls. And one Sunday she had a visitor to come in. And she welcomed that little girl and visitors, and she came in and she went back home. Next Sunday she came back. And she was tickled to death to be in Sunday school. Well, the next week the little girl did not show up for Sunday school at all. And the Sunday school teacher said, I'll send her a card just to let her know I missed her. Well, she did. The next Sunday she came back to Sunday school, the little girl didn't come again. She said to herself, I don't know where that little girl is, but I'm going to send her another card. I just want her to let her know that I'm thinking about her. Okay? So she sent her a card. Week after week came, and she didn't ever show up. The Sunday school teacher would send her a card every week, to try to let her know that she missed her. Well, one day, the Sunday school teacher was out in town shopping or whatever, and the Sunday school teacher ran across the mother of this little girl. And she said to the mother, says, I want you to know that I miss your little girl, called her by name, and I hope she can come back. And the mother, with saddened eyes, said to the Sunday school teacher, she won't be back. And the Sunday school teacher was shocked. And she says, why not? She said, my little girl passed away 3 weeks ago. She passed away 3 weeks ago. Well, I said that to say this. It's one thing to send out something to somebody, but it's more important to make a physical contact. That physical contact out there in the world today in people's lives is more important than sending them a letter. I mean, especially as you send one or two and you get no response, okay? So therefore, we find here that the Lord Jesus Christ and his church is our business, folks. As a born-again child of God, as a Christian, to keep in contact with people, to let people know that we miss them, we love them, we'll pray for them. You know, it's our responsibility, you know, to let people know about this. Because, as Brother Alford said this morning, there are people here in this room today that are going through things in their life right now that if you and I were going through that, we might not even be here today. We don't know where we'd be. Hardship, burdens, problems people have today. We all have them, don't we? Nod your heads. We all do. But thank God we have Christ on our side to help us.
Amen.
We have the Word of God to read to assure us that the best is yet to come. This is not the end. This is the means to the end, but it's not the end, you see. And I thank God today we have that. So we see here today what our Lord teaches us about the New Testament church. He establishes it. He is the rock that the church is to be built upon. And we have the opportunity as born-again, baptized believers to be part of it. My, what a joy. What a privilege it is. When we talk about the church, it never is described as a denomination. The church. It is never used to describe a group of churches. It is never used to describe a national church. The Bible simply teaches us that every church is to be accountable to God. That's why we are independent Baptist churches.
Amen.
This church is accountable to God.
Amen.
Our pastor is the leader of the church. We're to pray for him that God will give him direction. He is accountable to God how he leads this church. Therefore, if it's very necessary for us as members to pray for him and to support him. Therefore, we find we, as every church member here is accountable to God for ourselves, but we as a body are accountable to God as a church. Our headquarters is where? Heaven. The church headquarters is in heaven. It's not a denomination. It's not a group over here somewhere set aside. But our accountability is with God in heaven. He keeps the records for Fellowship Baptist Church here. See, the church is a group of born-again, baptized believers that have voluntarily assembled themselves together to carry out the Great Commission. That is, telling people about Jesus Christ. That's why we come together, folks, to get encouragement, to go out and to share, to tell people about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our motto. The Lord is doing his work in the world today only through the church. Through the church. That's how God does his work. It's through and by the church. He does it this way. The New Testament church was started with Christ and his disciples, and we see them as they were empowered at the upper room during Pentecost. They were given power to go out into the world and establish the church. Establish churches there. We realize that the Lord gave a commission to the church. That's our job. We don't come to church just to get together and socialize. We get to church to learn how to go and tell people about Jesus. And I tell you, it's getting more complicated, isn't it? To share the gospel with people. It really is. I mean, we just pray about how, we've been praying about how, Lord, how can I approach these people? What can I say to these people, you know? When I told you not, I asked a guy a few weeks ago, I said, sir, do you know for sure if you die? And I said, sir, do you know for sure where you go when you die? He said, I go to the morgue. That was his answer. Sad to say. I said, sir, well, what about your soul? Your body's going there. Well, how about your soul? He hung his head, you know. Because he failed to realize, I made him had him to think about not only his body but his soul. It's going to be living eternally somewhere, and he needs to realize that. He needs to realize that today. The New Testament church is made up of a body of born again believers. That's why when people come to Fellowship Baptist Church to want to join this church, we ask them two questions primarily. Number one. Have you been saved? Are you saved? That's the most important thing we can ask them. Are you saved? Do you know for sure if you die, you go to heaven? Because a person that is not saved, joins the church, he's trouble. He's trouble for himself. He's trouble for the church.
Amen.
Because he's not saved, he don't know the Lord, he don't know nothing about the church. What the function of the church is, there's no reason to even be here, really.
Right.
Number two is, have you been baptized? Have you been baptized? Have you been scripturally baptized? That's the two qualifications to join Fellowship Baptist Church. Know you're saved, and know you've been baptized. And then you can be part of the body of Christ here. And that's the way Jesus wants it, that's the way he set it up to be this way. Not only should we be Christians, we should be obedient to Christ in believer's baptism. Believer's baptism is very important. What is the order for baptism? How do you know it's biblically correct? Well, we practice it here. There must be a right authority, first of all, for baptism. That is through and by the local church. The local church does the baptizing. The church does the baptizing. There must be a right mode of baptism. That's by immersion. Immersion is going into the water, under the water, and coming up out of the water. That's what immersion is, being completely submerged by water. Immersion. There must be a right candidate also for baptism. Again, people must be saved before they should be baptized. People must be saved before they be baptized. I've known people, and you have too, that were baptized and weren't saved. Might be somebody here that way, I don't know. But it's most important to be saved first, then baptized. You have a reason to be baptized then. Once you're saved, you have a reason to be baptized. The New Testament church has the only one head. One head. One head. Can't have more than one. And the Independent Baptist Church recognizes, again, that our headquarters is in heaven. Our headquarters is in heaven. The church has only one head, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He establishes the church. He built the church. He's the rock. He is the rock. God always has a people who believe in this doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ. The New Testament church is the pillar and ground of the truth. We have to teach the truth. We present the truth every time the Word of God is open. Every time the Word of God is open, you see. We're in a world, I'm afraid we've traded the truth for tolerance. We're not careful. What we tolerate. Listen, if it ain't truth, we don't tolerate it. We're not to tolerate it. It's not truth. Not truth. In our world, there's a lack of knowledge, but there's a greater lack of truth. A greater lack of truth in our world than knowledge. The truth is so important. We must lift up the truth in love to the hearts and lives of people that we come in contact with. You know, as I try to visit people and talk to people, I find there's a lot of people that want to know the truth. They really do. If you can finally break that chip off their shoulder, if God can, you can't do it. But if God can knock that chip off their shoulder, they want to hear the truth. They really do. We ought to obey. We ought to be giving out the truth. The New Testament church is an independent congregation. It's a congregation. It's an independent congregation. We're to be self-supporting. We're not to be asking other people to support this church. We're to be self-supporting here at Fellowship Baptist Church. We should be acting independently of any other congregation. The church is responsible to evangelize the world. We do that through visitation and through missionaries. We let the people know about the Lord Jesus Christ. We also see the New Testament church is responsible, again, in many ways. I'm afraid sometimes we lose our vision. We lose our vision sometimes if we're not careful. Ambition comes from men, but vision comes from God. Vision comes from God. May the Lord help us to see that. May we help get the gospel to every creature. Every creature. That's our vision, folks, is to get the gospel to every creature we come in contact with. I've said this many times. When we go out into the world, we're to tell people about Jesus Christ. At the gas station, grocery stores, wherever we go, talk to people about the Lord. Give them a tract. Make them think what's going on in their lives. Where are they going to go when they die? That's important, isn't it? Again, these people you see, you probably won't ever see again. One time is about all you see them. And we need to be doing what we can then. Again, the New Testament church is a pastoral led. You read 1 Timothy chapter 3, you see that. We see that sheep need a shepherd. We're sheep, we're dumb. We don't know a lot. But as we hear the Word of God, God teaches us. As we hear the Word of God talk to us and preach to us and present it to us, we can learn and we can grow in the Lord. God enables a pastor. Every New Testament church should be a pastor-led church. Pastor-led church. If it's not a pastor-led church, there's going to be problems. Pastor is the leader. He's the leader. We only have one leader. That's a pastor. I can't be a leader. You can't be a leader. None of us can be the pastor, but the pastor. Only one. Thank God for that. We got a good one. I thank God for it. Amen. Now, what we believe about as Christians must come from what we know about God. The more we know about God, the more we should be a better Christian. The more we know about God and what He's done. The local church, again, is a group of born-again, baptized believers that have voluntarily joined themselves together to present, to do the great commission, that is, tell the world about Jesus. That's the church. That's the church. Jesus Christ builds a church, and we are to obey Him. We are to obey Him and what He wants us to do. Our authority for faith and practice in the New Testament church is the Bible. The Bible, the Word of God, that's our authority. That's the authority we need. That's the authority we have, is the Word of God, the Word of God. The church started with Christ and His disciples, we see, and again was empowered to go out to the world at Pentecost. And that's where we are today. The Lord Jesus Christ gave the commission to who? The church. The church. We have the commission to go into the world and tell the world about Jesus Christ. The New Testament church is made up of members who have been saved and baptized and unite with the church. Now, there's four things the church needs to be doing in closing. Four things we need to consider in doing as a church. We need to worship God and glorify Him on this earth. Worship Him and glorify Him on this earth while we're here, while we have the opportunity. We need to evangelize the world with the gospel. Present the good news to everybody that we can. Everybody we can. Number three, we need to develop Christian individuals as they're newborn Christians in Christ. We need to train them and teach them and encourage them in the Lord, those new converts. And number four, we need to be a constant witness for Christ and His Word. Is there any word from the Lord about His church? Yes, there is. Yes, there is. There's a lot the Bible tells us about the church. I'm thankful today that I'm part of the church, aren't you?
Amen.
I'm glad I'm a member of the church. Not just Fellowship Baptist Church, but the church in heaven. The church of Jesus Christ. But Him being the rock. Him being the finisher. Him being the founder and the finisher of the church. I'm glad today to know that we are that. So God help us today as we go forth this week. May we present the gospel to somebody. May we let others know that we are part of the church of Jesus Christ and help somebody see their need of being saved. Father, we thank You today for loving us. We thank You, Lord, for the Word of God that we have to encourage us, to enlighten us, and give us understanding, Lord, of why we're even here on this earth. You put us here, Lord. You saved us. And Lord, now You want us to do what You've called us to do and led us to do as Your children. Lord, please help us to be faithful. Lord, I thank You for the church. I thank You for Jesus Christ talking to His disciples and announcing to them what He's going to do and God, how He's going to do it. God, we're grateful today to know that we can be part of it. And oh, we will until Jesus comes or Jesus takes us home individually. God, help us to be found faithful. Lord, as we approach the next service, Lord, may Your will be done. Bless our preacher. Bless the singing. May all that's done today bring honor and glory to You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.